ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Please turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 5 as we continue our study through the Word of God. And in our study so far, we've seen Moses die and the Lord places Joshua as the new leader. He's the one who's going to lead the children of Israel into the promised land, the land of Canaan. We also saw two spies go into the city of Jericho and rescue Rahab the harlot. Now, keep in mind, she's still in Jericho, but when the children of Israel come and attack this city, she was told to put a scarlet cord or thread in her window, and everyone in her house then would be spared. And we saw how that this was a picture of Christ and how his blood cleanses us from all our sins. And the angel of death, in a sense, the judgment of God, will pass over our lives. Then they crossed over the Jordan River into the promised land, and now they're waiting. They're preparing for the battles that they're going to face in the land of Canaan, and Jericho is the first one. And yeah, God had given them the land. He told them, the land is yours, but you need to walk. You need to step by faith into the land, and you'll see what God is going to do in them and through them as he gives them these victories. And again, their first battle, like I said, is against the people of Jericho, and they were a formidable opponent. They were a strong city. They had walls and soldiers. And here the children of Israel are waiting to go into battle, and the Lord is preparing them, and he's preparing them spiritually speaking, you might say. Remember what we've seen so far. We looked at a renewal of circumcision, or the cutting away of the flesh. What was that all about? Well, keep in mind, they left their wilderness wanderings behind them, the flesh life, the carnal life, and now they're entering the life of the Spirit. And if you're going to do that, you have to cut ties with that old life, that carnal life. And to do that, you have to crucify the flesh. You have to put it to death, cut it out. And I think we all understand this, but putting it into practice each and every day is difficult. You see, if you're feeding the flesh, living for fleshly desires, then you're going to be carnal. Not only carnal, but the works of the flesh will be manifested in your life, and it's not a good thing. And we do need to understand that this is not one battle we face, or two battles we face, or three battles. This is a constant battle in our lives. That's why Paul, in Galatians 5:16, makes this very important point, as he tells us, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. In other words, why go back to that which had you in bondage? Walk in the Spirit. Follow the Spirit's leading in your life. And if you want to live that victorious Christian life, you have to crucify the flesh. Cut it out, in a sense, and walk in the Spirit, letting the Lord guide you and lead you in all that you do and say. In Philippians 3:3, Paul put it like this, "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." If you really think you're going to do it on your own, you're mistaken, because these bodies of flesh are not going to be able to handle what God wants you to do. But as you surrender to the Spirit's leading, you will be able to do it. So the first thing that they were to do as they prepared to do battle against the people of Jericho was a renewal of circumcision, which they did. They obeyed the Lord. Then we saw last time, as they prepared for battle, they celebrate Passover. And keep in mind that the first Passover was celebrated in Egypt as they placed the blood of the lamb on the doors of their homes so the angel of death would pass over their homes. Then they celebrated the Passover meal. And this feast was again celebrated at Mount Sinai. And then for the next 40 years as they wandered in the wilderness, they neglected to celebrate it until they're in the promised land here with Joshua. And the idea here is that they were to remember the work. And the reason for that is we have to understand that it's only through God that we can accomplish anything, even our salvation. And as we look back on the finished work of Christ, as we celebrate communion, We understand that the same God who saved us will see us through anything we face in life, and ultimately, he's going to bring us home to glory. And lastly, as we're going to see this morning, the manna stopped, and now they were to gather the food from the land. Again, they're in the promised land, the land of Canaan, a land flowing with milk and honey. And the idea here is the appropriation of the land's produce. Now, before we get to our text this morning, let me share this story with you, and I'll kind of show you where we're going. We're told this. In First Things First, A. Roger Merrill tells of a business consultant who decided to landscape his grounds. He hired a woman with a doctorate in horticulture who was extremely knowledgeable. Because the business consultant was very busy and traveled a lot, he kept emphasizing to her the need to create his garden in a way that would require little or no maintenance on his part. He insisted on automatic sprinklers and other labor-saving devices. Finally, she stopped and said, "There's one thing you need to deal with before we go any further. If there's no gardener, there's no garden. There are no labor-saving devices for growing a garden of spiritual virtue. Becoming a person of spiritual fruitfulness requires time, attention, and care." And how true that is. You know, we need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it takes work. There is effort on our part. I mean, I don't know if any of you garden. My wife loves flowers, and I do the gardening for her. She buys the flowers, I plant them, but it's not just putting them in the ground. You have to prepare the soil, and then you plant them, and then if I just let them go, guess what? Weeds. I didn't plant weeds, but they grow, and they have to be pulled out. They have to be dug out. They have to be removed. Well, don't we find that same issue in our own lives? God plants his word into our hearts and lives. We're saved. But we're out in the world. We've got these bodies of flesh. And there's a lot of garbage in there that needs to be removed. And it's kind of like doing spiritual gardening work. You got to take out the weeds, the garbage from your life. And this morning, we're going to look at really two main points. First, spiritual babies, and then mature in the faith. So let's pick up reading here in Joshua chapter 5, beginning in verse 11. And the topic is going to be from milk to meat. And listen to what we're told here. "And they ate of the produce of the land on the day after the Passover, unleavened bread and parched grain, or roasted grain on the very same day. Now the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land, and the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year." So what we've seen here is after the men and the boys were circumcised, after they celebrated the feast of Passover, the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land. Why in the world did the manna or this bread from heaven stop? Think about it. For some 40 years now, God has provided this bread from heaven for them, and now nothing. And I realize, I tend to be, with my meals, I kind of, especially when I was working outside the church, are pretty similar each and every day. But imagine manna for 40 years. I mean, yeah, manna bread, manna cakes, manna cotti, whatever, you know? It gets old after a while. I mean, how many different ways can you make manna? And I'm sure it was very good at first, but, you know, 40 years of it. And here they are now in the land of Canaan. God has brought them into this land flowing with milk and honey, and the land is going to sustain them. It was time for them to grow. And this is the third experience the Lord was leading them in, the appropriation of the land's produce. And I think this is very true for us as Christians. We need to grow in the Lord, not remain spiritual infants all of our lives. And that's really our first point, spiritual babies. And if you remember, it's kind of interesting. You know, on Thursdays we had two snow days because we didn't have service because the weather was bad. Well, we had the study we were supposed to do a few weeks back this past Thursday, and it dealt with spiritual babies in 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 3, listen to what Paul said. He's, you know, rebuking them for remaining immature. He said, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as the carnal. As the babes in Christ, I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? And again, some people have a hard time with this. Like I said on Thursday, they don't believe that you can be a Christian and still be carnal. But Paul's saying that right here. Yes, you can. These are immature Christians. They're carnal Christians. He calls them brethren, babes in Christ. They're not growing up. And the word that Paul uses for carnal in the Greek speaks of being characterized by the flesh, being dominated by the flesh. That was their lives. Remember, Corinth was a very immoral city. A lot of wickedness going on in there. In fact, they had a name. They were named in a derogatory way. Imagine living in a city where your name means, you know, you're just an immoral person. That was Corinth. But now people are getting saved, but they're not growing. They're remaining carnal. A lot of those fleshly things that they used to do was brought right into the church. They were remaining babes in Christ. And I guess for us, we need to understand that the message of the cross is much, much, much more than just justification. It's our sanctification as well. Who is controlling our lives? Because if it's the world, if it's the flesh, you're going to remain carnal. You see, this group of people here in Corinth, they saw themselves as very spiritual. Using the gifts of the Spirit, Paul says, you guys are wrong here. You're mistaken. You're carnal. You're immature. You're babes in Christ. Instead of digging into the meat of the Scriptures, you're still taking in milk, baby food. And yet, I mean, look at the when you get into later on in 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about the gifts that they used within the church. But they weren't used appropriately because they were carnal. You think, well, why did God give it to them? God gives us gifts not because we deserve it. It's called grace. If anyone thinks, yeah, I'm such a strong Christian, I'm a mature Christian, that's why God is using me, you're wrong. You are totally wrong. God is using you because He is a gracious and merciful God. None of us deserve it. I mean, compare your life to a holy and righteous God, and where do you stand? I don't know about you, but I stand in the grace of God, and I'm so thankful for that. But God wants us to grow, to mature, not to stay where we're at. You see, these people in Corinth, they saw themselves as spiritual, and yet they weren't ready for the deeper things of God. They weren't living up to the basics that they already had, that they were taught. I mean, wow, milk, milk, milk. And that's another problem today is teachers that just give milk, 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 and their people won't grow. Both points are going to keep you spiritual infants. Also in Hebrews chapter 5, Paul wanted to speak to these Jewish believers about the deep things of God. He wanted to talk about Melchizedek. And it says, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. And Paul wanted to speak more about Melchizedek and how it relates to Christ, but because of their immaturity, because they were dull of hearing, lazy, slothful with their spiritual lives, they just couldn't understand what he was saying. And some of these people were probably Jewish believers. They knew the Old Testament very well. They knew Melchizedek and who he was. But they couldn't get it. You know, Paul in Hebrews 2, verses 1 through 4, gave them a warning that they were drifting away from the truths of God. Yeah, that's what can happen. The second warning in Hebrews 3, verses 7 through 19, really deals with their hardening of their hearts to the things of God. They're remaining spiritual infants, and they don't even see their need to grow. And in Hebrews chapter 5, really, it's a warning against spiritual immaturity, or maybe we could call it arrested spiritual development. Some of these believers, these Jewish and Gentile believers, could have been saved for some 30 years at this point, and they're still babes in Christ. These are not new believers. New believers are babes in Christ. Yes, they're spiritual infants. That's right. That's just the way it is. You got to grow. But these guys have been Christians for years, and that's not normal. Imagine some big head of some company speaking in a room filled with new employees and other businessmen, and he starts out his lecture by going like this. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, and he goes on through the whole alphabet. And then he says, okay, have a great day, guys. You're like, what? That's it? That's what you give me? The ABCs? You're the head of a company. You got to know more than that, right? Do you need to know the ABCs? Absolutely. You got to know the basics. But you also then need to grow and be able to put together the letters. You need to be able to form words and sentences and so on. And growth is the idea here, and this is what they were lacking. And yet, when Paul speaks of them, you know, being teachers, he's not talking of the gift of teaching, but just sharing their faith. To teach others the things of God, to show them the things you believe. And babies are cute. They're adorable. And at this point in my life, grandbabies are adorable. Not babies. Grandbabies. I just want to be clear on that. But a 20-year-old who is still crawling on the ground going goo goo gaga is not adorable. It's sad. It's tragic. And that's what Paul is saying of these believers. You're like spiritual infants. You're not growing. You're not maturing. And that's a hard thing. And the evidence for that immaturity was that they refused to eat meat. Paul talked about that in Romans, I believe it was chapter 14, if I'm not mistaken. Yep, Romans 14. He's talking about the liberty that we have in Christ. But he's also talking about those that are still legalistic. Oh, you know, we can't eat meat. We got to celebrate certain days of the week or certain holidays and certain this. And if we don't, you know, we're in trouble. They saw themselves as mature. Paul says, you're not mature. You're weak in the faith. You're spiritual infants. And granted, we don't want to remain in this condition. We need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I think that's kind of our main point now. You know, yeah, we looked at spiritual infants, but we want to mature in the faith. We don't want to remain there. And listen to, again, Joshua 5:11. Look at how this is played out. And they ate of the produce of the land on the day after the Passover, unleavened bread and parched grain on the very same day. Again, manna was the food that they ate in the wilderness those 40 years. And as I've said, it was bland, it was boring, monotonous. You know, it was the same thing. It was from God, but you know, how many times could you just not have the same thing? God wanted them in the promised land, but because of unbelief, they had to wait until that generation that refused to go in died out in the wilderness, and their children from 19 years old and under would be the ones entering in. Those that were 20 years old and above who refused to go would die in the wilderness, and they did. And here we are, 40 years later. But in the land of Canaan, wow, it's a picture of the life of the Spirit. Excitement, all kinds of new experiences that God was going to give them as they walked by faith and not by sight. I mean, think about our own lives. You know, before we got saved, we were doing things. But after we got saved, we see the hand of God. And it's amazing when you start looking and seeing what God is doing. It's exciting. I wonder what's going to happen today. Walking by faith and not by sight. As you're reading the Word of God, you're maturing. God is opening things up to you by His Spirit as you're reading. You're not dependent upon others to teach you all the time. There's nothing wrong with having teachers teach you. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here, right? The Scriptures wouldn't talk about someone teaching the Word of God. But you have to be in the Word of God. You have to read it. You have to learn. How do you keep me accountable for what I say? You read the Word of God. If I said something, you know, that Jesus is in a spaceship behind the Hale-Bopp comet, I think some of you, probably all of you, hopefully, Lord, please, all of them, would raise their hand and go, are you kidding me? Jesus is in a spaceship behind the Hale-Bopp comet? But you see, things come into the church and people don't question the pastor because they don't know the Word of God. And why would the pastor not tell the truth? Well, I can't answer why they give you other things that are not part of the scriptures. I can't answer that. That's between them and God. But all I can tell you is the Berean believers searched the scriptures to see if what Paul said was correct or not. Paul the apostle. And you know what? Paul didn't get upset. You're checking me? I'm Paul. Paul the apostle, guys. How could you check me? No, that's exactly what they needed to do to see if what he was saying is true. And that's what everyone needs to do. That's how you grow. That's how you mature in the Lord. It's so important. And yet it's something that seems to be lacking today. And here in Joshua 5:11, the parched grain, the unleavened bread. And I think this is kind of interesting what's happening here. The children of Israel, after they entered the land, they celebrated the Feast of Passover on the 14th of Nisan. And the next day, according to Leviticus 23, they celebrated the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which ran for 7 consecutive days. What is leaven a type of? Leaven or yeast in the Bible is symbolic of sin. And Paul in Galatians 5:9 said, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. We see it also in 1 Corinthians 5:6. And Paul's point is this. Just a tiny bit of leaven will permeate or infect the entire lump of dough until it was all leavened. And I guess that's how you have a starter dough and you take some of the dough that has the yeast that's risen, you put it in with the other stuff, you mix it up, and the whole dough becomes leavened then. And Paul's not talking about cooking here. It's not just about dough. It's a picture of what sin and false teaching and false doctrine does in our lives. Just a little sin, just a little bit of false doctrine, if it's not dealt with, will grow and spread through our life or the life of a church until everything is corrupted. I'll share this with you. I can't believe it's been this long, but it has. Back in April of 2003, my dad was diagnosed with colon cancer, and he had part of his colon removed. You think, well, that was great. His cancer is gone. Most of the lymph glands that they biopsied had cancer. You see, that wasn't the end of the story. One little cancer cell can travel and metastasize throughout the body. That's what happened with my dad. The lymph nodes themselves are kind of like a highway that runs through the body. You get a cancer into that and it goes everywhere. And within less than 1 year, that cancer spread to his brains, his lungs, and his liver, and he died. And that's Paul's point, guys. A single false doctrine can spread. Some little sin can multiply and grow. And not only affect and destroy the person, but it can grow and multiply through a church and destroy many lives. Make no mistake about it. Like leaven or cancer, it has to be completely removed or will continue to grow and devour many lives. I realize there are some people that are upset by what I did with the whole group of people that were involved in the Hebrew Roots movement and how I had to remove someone from the church. But do you understand that if it's not dealt with false teaching, that it will spread and it will destroy? That's not my opinion. That's what the Bible says. We got to be careful. Now think about this. What's the significance of the Feast of Unleavened Bread to us as Christians? Well, let me talk first about Passover. Passover speaks of redemption, right? Well, you move the next day, Feast of Unleavened Bread speaks of sanctification. There's no leaven in the bread. There's no sin in it. Talking about sanctification. Before God deals with the sin in our lives, though, we have to be saved. What we try to do as Christians is we try to clean people up. Oh, you shouldn't do that. They're not even saved. They need Jesus. I mean, what's the point? You're going to clean them up and make them look nice so they can go to hell looking good? Now, if someone's going to do something that's going to hurt themselves, yes, you want to correct them. You want to say, hey, don't do that. Those consequences are not worth doing that. Of course you're to tell them that. But we want people to completely change their lifestyles, but that doesn't make them a Christian. They need to come to the saving faith in Jesus. And think about it. Did you get cleaned up before you got saved, or did God take you the way you were? God took me the way I was. And I'm sure it's true with you too. It it's interesting what the Lord told the children of Israel after he brought them out of Egypt, after they were saved by the blood of the Lamb being placed upon the doorpost of their homes. In Leviticus 11:45, this is what he said, "I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." How many of your Bibles say happy? I am happy, you should be happy too. Doesn't, huh? Holy. Interesting. Here's the thing. Just like with the children of Israel, sanctification is not dealing with our salvation because we're saved by the blood of Christ applied to our lives by faith. It's dealing with our growth in the Lord, our maturing in the faith.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.